Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm a first-time caller, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I am fine. Okay, I just wanted to comment on the ambassador discussion you had with respect to the...
You've disappeared. I hope my telephones are not giving trouble, but in the middle of your conversation, you suddenly went, bum. I was hoping to have that discussion with you. So if you can try again, 434-1790, I would be happy to have a discussion with you on that subject or to hear your comments about it. 434-1790. Good morning, Dennis. It seems Integrity in Public Life Bill has gone to bed. Let's keep it on the front burner. It's supposed to come back up, I suppose, when Parliament resumes. Don't forget, Parliament has been prorogued. The throne speech was supposed to signal the start of the new term, so we will wait to see what happens thereafter. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Hello. All right, there
good
must
morning.
Be... Yes, good morning.
Yeah, I don't know if you could hear me.
Clearly, sir. Very
okay,
clearly.
Excellent. Excellent, sir. I think the whole concept of integrity in public life is to dismiss with the difficult part in the title of the document. It does less danger than in the text.
Say that again, sir. Sir, please listen to the telephone and not to your radio. All right, John, let's try another call because the caller is obviously trying to do two things at once and they're becoming a little confused. Brass Tacks, hello.
Hello, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Yes, how are you, sir? I found a driver's license belonging to David Edward Ford. He lives in Rest Road, Fetch Village. I can give you my number up here. Please, unless you can call me, you can get it.
You need to leave your number then with the producer, technical operator, the gentleman who answered the phone when you call. And if you just repeat the name again and where you found the driver's license so that the person can hear it or someone who knows them can hear it.
Okay, the name is Edward Ford, Rich Road, Fetch Village, St. James.
Okay,
I'm
sir.
Making, my number is...
Sir, give it off the air. Give it off the air. It's better that you do that. Brass Tacks, thank you for holding. Good morning.
Good morning to you. How do you do?
I'm all right. Thank you, ma'am. And you?
I'm fine. The network is giving trouble. That's why the woman probably ain't getting through because I call. And as soon as I was on the line, the thing just bang, cut up three times. So I don't know what's going to happen. Anyhow, in relation to the election in St. George North, I don't know why the DLP by now ain't get the horse, right? They can't wait so late. If they want to win the seat, they got to start doing some footponging and getting out there to the people, et cetera. Them too slow in the race. This race is going to be a fast race. It's going to be like a marathon.
A sprint.
It's going to be like...
A sprint.
A sprint. You understand? So the fastest person going to be the winner, right? So... them a bit too slow. I'm so sure if they can hit the marker, because we ain't getting the box and the bell ring, the horse is going to run out. And, you know, this is going to be a short, fast race. And to Brother Franklin, man, I want you to show me your muscles, put on your software and get out there and go to St. George. Real Rock Hall Posse, my brother, you're strong enough to win that seat. So beat them, to Mr. Granville Phillips. I wish you all the best in the race. And to the DLP candidate, I wish you well too. But I would love Caswell to really do his thing and show me how much muscles he got. And if Caswell go out there and do his thing and Caswell win, it will tell me that the people are thinking differently. Because as far as I see it, I can see more by-elections coming.
If he loses?
But if he loses, well, you know, it tells you that he got to sharpen up his tools and come good, right? Because when you come in, when you out there, it's like a shark trying to get in, or you know what I'm saying?
No, but so, because the reason why I ask you that is this, right? Do you believe that everyone who has public support as a unionist or in a particular type of field is necessary a necessarily a political candidate?
It is the ability of the person, one, and if you got the power to go forward to do your business, right, you go on and do your thing, right? But seeing Caswell is so popular in Barbados, right? He might 90% have a good chance, right?
No.
He will have a better chance than Granville, mm-hmm. right? I feel so.
But let me ask you this other question. Have there not been people who have been very popular in the various fields of endeavor, but somehow did not have political support in our party environment in Barbados? You could think of any?
I can't really remember that call.
All right, so let me run through a few names for you. You know Elombe Motley?
Oh, yeah, my teacher.
Okay. You know David Comichong?
Of course.
Right. They won seats in Parliament? Good. Wendell A. McLean ran for the NDP. Did not succeed.
Okay.
But he was very well known. He was very well supported. He was highly thought of. There's some people that just don't seem to get political support despite their popularity or people believing in their message.
And
to me, it is one of the things that is fascinating about party politics. You know, and then you have Hamilton Lashley, who went from one party to the other and was supported every time.
Well,
so you have, you know, you look at one side and you say, well, and you look at the other side and you say, well. Party politics is a strange thing. No, I am not thinking negative either. I'm just saying why some people may not want to run.
He has a chance in the race. When you put horse races, you get a whole set of horses to run a race.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
So all he got to do is try and get himself in the saddle and get out there and do his thing. And if the people want him, well, they will take him. If they don't want him, well, too bad. Better luck next time. Right?
Okay.
But it's like me, I won't give up. I will try my thing. The little money that you got to pay in a lot of money, right? And I sure bet he will get his support from the people in Rock Hall. You understand? That's my brother Caswell Franklin. And I wish him all the best, Caswell. Put on your boots and come out. You understand? Fight this race. Show me your muscles. I want him. I want to see his muscles. I want to see what he got in him. If he's gay or law talk, let me see some action on my brother. Right? But I know if Caswell got to run, and he got to run with the DLP horse, Caswell will get more votes than that person. Because these people too slow. Right now, these people aren't ready. And as it stands right now, in this race going to be, you know, a BLP race. But we need a little opposition, man.
Okay, ma'am.
We need a little opposition.
Fair enough. There is obviously a point they're trying to make they're not getting across. The WhatsApp message said, Mr. Johnson, your reference to Evelyn Graves is certainly not relative since he was a deputy and not the CEO. I said to the person, Ms. Moore is the general secretary. And she says, is the general secretary not the equivalent of the CEO? The point I keep trying to make by referencing the Honorable Evelyn Graves, Member of Parliament for St. Lucie and the Minister of Tourism, is this. The gentleman took leave from his position as Deputy General Secretary to assume the position of Minister. The point I am making is that he made a choice. And I've said it on more than one occasion, with at least two different callers, that the person has to make a choice, whether they represent the union or whether they represent the constituency that they're running to represent. It's a decision that the person has to make. That's the point I keep trying to make. You see, the reason why I keep saying that I do not like party politics and partisan name-calling politics is because sometimes we seem to overshoot the issue because of the personality or personalities involved. We excuse it with some people, we don't excuse it in others. We see the point if we on the side, we don't see the point if we on the other side, right? Whomever has to make the decision to accept a position of a candidate to run for a constituency, if they hold another position, they have to make a determination as to what to do. I have always had the greatest respect for the gentleman whose name I keep mentioning, because I actually had the opportunity to stand next to him in the middle of that strike. And I saw him standing in the hotel, because he came to the hotel. I worked at Haywards at the time, to see how we were getting on. He did not know me. And I stood next to him and I said, it must be difficult for you to stand here and look at your comrades marching up and down across the entrance, blocking the entrance to the hotel while trying not to do so, because it was against the law, and not be part of it. And he looked at me and said, so you know who I am? I said, yes, I do. Right? He took a position. He made a decision. Which is what anyone has to do when faced with such a situation. Brastax, good morning. Hello. 434-1790. You could send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862. The other comment I keep getting, I was trying to reach for it here, is the issue concerning whether or not this issue with the students. Yesterday there was quite a long discussion about it. I found it interesting that parents were complaining about the low grades received by students, and at the same time, the persons from the CXC were saying that there was an improvement in the mathematics output, there was an improvement in the output in English, and were making all these comparisons. I was trying to figure out how there could be these improvements, while at the same time, there seemed to have been this growing number of complaints about the results of the CXC and CAPE exams this year. But we can get back to that in a minute. Brastax, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, nice. I want to ask you a question. I mean, direct. You don't have to answer me direct in a way that you're telling me direct your business.
Okay.
I want to know, if you... Now, we have an election going to go on there. If you live in St. George...
What happened? Why is everybody starting to talk to me and then disappearing?
Wait a minute. Sorry about that.
Well, I don't know. Everybody seemed distracted this morning when they get to St. George.
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening to you. Yes. If I lived in St. George.
And you had to vote now. It is 29 seats or 30 seats. And by election now, we should maybe left 29 or something so. And if they win, they'll get back to 30 seats.
No, and because, no, they still have Bishop Atherley on the other side. So they have 29-1.
Oh, 29-1. Now tell me, and that day when that day come, you had to go and vote. Who you will go and vote for?
So I will vote for the candidate that I believe will support me.
Very good.
And represent me.
And the candidate I believe that will support you had to be opposition.
Why?
But why I tell you that? Now, why I should give you so much strength? That is too much strength. You got strength that you could, you could massage. You could do what you like to Barbados. as far as that's concerned. Not that you won't got nobody against you, but I think that you're entitled to do what you like.
Right.
I feel like you should have opposition. And I feel all people, St. George, everywhere it happened, you should vote opposition.
By asking you why?
Huh?
Why?
Okay, and I just feel that's clear, and I believe any foolish man would know that that should be.
No, sir, come on. Mm-hmm. Let's be serious.
Talk.
No, talk. Let me talk. No, I ain't talking to you. I want us to talk. Let me ask you this question, right?
Yeah.
How many people you believe in Barbados vote for an opposition?
Well, you generally go and vote for a government.
Correct. So this is my point. Hold on. Right.
But we walk in. But this is something that's completely different.
Why?
You already have a government.
Right, so follow me again. So I already have a government.
Right, so that means
If I am unhappy with the government, then I will vote against them. But if I'm happy with the government, why I voted against them?
Okay, I can tell you. The BLP is the government I like.
Right.
And I don't feel that. I feel we still want opposition. We still with that opposition, didn't care who it is, B, D, C, or N.
And sir, and that's why I say to you,
yeah,
it depends on what the people who are voting want.
Right. It depends on them.
Right.
But I just figuring that. I think they should be thinking any way I think.
I don't think they will, though. So don't be disappointed if they don't. So I have never seen it happen, which is why I tell you so.
Yeah,
I have never seen it happen.
I see most of the times people going vote, like saying, man, do we get everyone? They might be keep licking out. You understand? We check up everything.
So let me say this to you, right? Let me also say this to you. If that was the case, why would the Prime Minister have almost, well, at one point, 26 people in the cabinet?
26?
It was almost 26 at one point. Why would she have such a large cabinet if she already controlled at that point 30 people in the house? Because at that point the leader of the opposition now didn't cross the floor then. So she had 30 seats. Why would she have a big cabinet?
Oh boy, that means you're saying this.
All right, so let me help you why.
Yeah.
Because if she had a large backbench and a small cabinet, the backbench could run her out and become the opposition. You see, that's the challenge of having too many people to control.
Yeah.
Right? So,
let
me tell you this.
Mm.
Erskine Sandiford, he was then. He's now Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford.
Right.
Not the back bench, no. The front bench revolt against him. Three of his ministers.
True.
Four, actually. Mm. Crossed the floor.
Yes,
including the Minister of Finance or Economic Affairs, whichever he was at the time. Right? Which was a cabinet minister. So if you could have a cabinet revolt, or a cabinet member could lead a backbench revolt, if you end up with 30 people in parliament, or 29 people in parliament, and you have a cabinet of 10, of those 19, and you got 9 people on the backbench, they could be very unruly, you know.
I know, very, very right.
You could be facing a bucking horse.
Yeah.
So sometimes people go and vote for opposition. Opposition just happen.
Because sometimes your own people fall from you.
Correct.
Right.
So the person going to vote may very well say, right now I'm a little suspicious of 2 members of parliament who get moved from the ministry. So I better give the Prime Minister extra little support just in case.
Right.
So you see, people may be thinking differently from you.
I see, I understand. But I believe that Franklin would take some help. I think Ali would take some help. And some of the Senate that would keep noise and things, we would do want help, man. That's true. But I am not saying Miss Martley is a bad leader.
You
understand me? But I feel that they really want some help in the back. And something I fall for all the time, I will say it again, I believe that when you is a union leader, that you shouldn't be in politics.
Why? So, I just told a caller, a whole set of union leaders, who were not only in politics, they led the government.
Okay, all right, listen to me. But I know
that's that how they became. That's listen, how they became I, politicians.
Listen, let me tell you. I come along and find that happening.
Yes,
and
I do.
It wasn't too sweet for people, especially the workers outside.
But why?
It ain't sweet for them.
So answer. Tell me why.
I don't even going in that part because you know that part too. But
no, but it confuses me all the time.
It confuses me because listen.
Mm-hmm.
Now come on. I in government.
Yes.
And although your army you need and getting a bundle of money, I in government and I may get a little. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be getting a little.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still gonna represent government. Ever raises to come up. Look and see. You don't come for the people. You generally come for the government.
So it's the same argument that I've heard over and over and over in the three different countries I've lived in. Because union leaders got into political power and got into office because the union gave them their support. Even now, in Trinidad and Tobago, the union is at the forefront of political agitation. They have parties, they're affiliated to parties. So my question is this. If union leaders understand that they represent this constituency called union members and agitate on their behalf, march, bring down governments, get change, get into political office where they have the power to make that change, what happens then?
But it seems that in Barbados that don't happen.
Oh,
Barbados
okay.
is a different place than any place.
Oh, okay.
That would never happen in Barbados.
Okay.
I'm telling you, boy. We live in too loving over here for that to happen.
Okay.
don't care who's suffering or don't care who got. You understand?
I hear you,
sir. Anyhow, thank you for listening to me.
You too. It's good to chat with you, sir. I always like talking and listening to my elders. I learn a lot from them. Brass Dax, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you doing?
I am doing all right, sir. How are you?
You know something is that listen to people sometimes. You can tell how the same one thing, two ones say the remote, and the next say the same thing is different. I more believe that Miss Tony Moore or Mrs. Tony Moore is more help to the people of Barbados within the Barbados Labour Party than outside. When you inside the house, you can help people better than outside. You don't think so? At least that's my opinion.
Sir, and I just said to the gentleman who was talking before you,
yes,
that why is it that when those persons assumed the reins of power, they suddenly said that they no longer represent the working class? That's the question I asked him. So it seems that there are people who believe that once they get to that position, they no longer get the representation that they thought they would get. And he told me that's his feeling.
Honestly, I believe different. Because I feel that if I in government, I can vote for my workers better than any out or on the sideline. I have no quarrel with Tony Moore being elected. I can't. They had Sir Frank, they had Bobby Morris. They had Evelyn Graves, they had Sir Roy Trotman. You know what party them they belong to? One side. And then they make a row. And if you check, most of the people that keep it noisy is people from the other side. That don't want this and don't want that. In my opinion, Tony Moore is a very good union leader. I don't see nothing wrong with her. And I believe she will represent the people of St. George even better. I don't know what's wrong with my people, though. Well, Jonathan?
Yes, sir.
You go outside and what happened?
Sir, because I do not discuss partisan people politics.
Okay,
when you stick to the issue, I will stick to the issue. Let me say this to you, right? Because I've said this to the other callers. Your argument is just like the people you're criticizing because Sir Frank Walcott disagreed with Mr. Barrow on certain issues.
Yes, please.
Sir Roy Trotman disagreed with the leader of the Democratic Labour Party at the time, Erskine Sandiford. So the gentleman, even though they may have been affiliated with the party, if they were appointed by the party, when it came to a decision on whether to go party line or to go union line, they made a decision. But whether you agree with the decision or not is entirely up to you. But they made a decision. Whether they suffered for it or not, again, is a matter of history. All I am saying to you, sir, is this. That when decisions have to be made, the person or persons involved will decide whether they are union or whether they are party. And they will make a determination.
Of course.
And the public will judge them by that determination when they make it. And that's why I listened to what you wanted to respond to, which is the political chatter, to say how many people on that side, how many people on the other side. I also get messages saying if the general secretary was a man as opposed to a woman. And I let those things fly because that's not the issue. Here's the other thing that's amusing to me, right? What's amusing to me is how easily we grab at straws and we grab at what is sexy and we take our eyes off of what, to me, is essential. We have discussed in the last week, because this is my first time on for the week, I've been producer for most of the days. We have discussed same-sex marriage. We've discussed marijuana to some extent. We've discussed by-election. We've discussed CXC results. The economy has gone completely off the radar.
Yep.
The fact that Barbados is earning no foreign exchange at the moment because hotels are closed and another one closed. The club in St. James, somebody asked me which one, so let me answer. It used to be the Southwood, the sister station, the sister hotel to Divi Southwinds. No, the one that was Divi Club, or whatever it is club. The one down on the West Coast. That is closed. The club. I think that's what it's called, right? Now, we have a serious problem. The BERT Monitoring Committee has said that they want to know when the projects will start because we seem to be losing our edge. What we're trying to achieve, we're falling behind. You have a headline in the newspaper that says that our bonds that maturing in 2029 going to be an issue.
We might not be able to pay for them.
Here is the thing, sir. We in 2020, right? By 2029, we should be looking at another general election, depending on when the Prime Minister calls the next one. My guess is 2022, but that's just my guess. So somewhere close to 2029, we should be looking at another general election. If I was a political leader, or if I had a political organization to advise, I would start from now to start getting in line a group of candidates and thinkers and persons who could project me to 2029, who could so impress the public with our knowledge of, grasp of, and ability to manage the economic affairs of Barbados, that by 2029, we're in a position to say, this is how we'll face the challenges of 2029 and beyond. What I am seeing is political parties bringing up people who are, one, unknown to the public, two, untested and untried in governance, and hoping to achieve political power. And my question is, to do what? Because if you cannot show that you are in a position to manage the economic affairs of Barbados and the social fallout from what we're going through now, my question is, why are you seeking political office? And which is why I raised the question about how large a backbench does the Prime Minister want? And what type of representation can you expect if you bring someone into Parliament and simply put them on the backbench? Right? And to me, what you need to do is to show, and I think this is one of the reasons that the Prime Minister is doing it, is grooming the next cadre of young enough candidates that will have enough parliamentary experience to be able to say in 2029 or 2027, however, these are our experienced people. Them people over there, so inexperienced, ill-prepared. No, tell me who you can vote for. So that's called political strategy. But I'm not a political strategist. I'm not a political appointee. I'm not a political scientist. I ain't a political nothing.
As a political talker, that's what makes
it. Not talker, as a political observer. Who could talk? You see, right. My problem is that we like to talk about cricket, but we can't understand why we keep failing at cricket. And we fail at cricket because we don't know how to read the pitch and the ball. We want to swipe at everything. Sometimes he has hit and sometimes he has missed. So, but you know, sometimes they make 100 and sometimes they make naught. So, we playing with Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
We playing. I don't think we understand where we are. We go on the radio and talk about, oh, people suffering. But then we want to talk about, discuss other things. It don't make sense. Not to me.
But when people suffering, we got to look at funny ways to help you suffering.
But when what we talking about, so we talking about all kind of other things.
We ain't gonna talk about who to help you suffering. Now, if you got six things, at least you can live off of four and get rid of two. Them the things that we want to discuss in this country. Marla, I would love to and want to get every vote in St. George. Every one. All the rest get zero. Thank you, Weather Diva.
All right, sir.